Well, the first word I can say is wow. You know, I grew up in a church that was a Baptist church, not to pick on them at all, but, you know, there was a bulletin that they put out every week, which is the order of the service, and they had the, you know, time for a few songs, and they read the scripture that usually went with the message, and it was all orchestrated by the pastor, probably, for the most part. Well, I just want to say this was not that. And if anything I share this morning fits with what God was speaking to us about, I did not orchestrate it, right? But there was a lot this morning, and if you want to, you know, stand up and greet your neighbor and tell them that God is faithful, right? Because that's what one thing he was speaking to us about. So stretch a little bit so we can hear the message. All right, now that we got all those muscles reactivated, have a seat and we'll share a little more. So I just wanted to pray to start. Lord Jesus, just be with us today and be with our words. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for showing us how faithful you are in testimony and in your word. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And your bird story, yes, yes. Amen. My main text today is from Psalm 1. If you want to turn there, Psalm 1. We're probably just going to look at the first three verses today. But before we start, I just wanted to say that it's been my observation and also in my own life, if I'm not moving towards the Lord, I'm moving away. There is no middle ground. There is no being on the fence. You're either moving towards the Lord, you're either seeking him and looking for him, or you're falling away. And that's just the reality of how we're made and what life is about, is that you're either moving towards the Lord or you're moving away. And this first verse in Psalm 1 tells us how we fall away. It's the process by which we think we're doing really well with the Lord, and then we just find ourselves moving away. And what it does is it goes into three different words. It says that it first talks about walking, and then standing, and then sitting. And with those three words, the process is looking at something and then considering it and then taking it on and then finally being signed up to it. And you know, with that one time many years ago when I worked for IBM, I was traveling back from Florida by myself on a plane. And I fell fast asleep in the plane, and the stewardess, I guess everybody else went out of the plane, and then they finally woke me up, and I walked out of the plane, and I happened to be walking into the D.C., you know, Washington, D.C. airport, and when I did, I'm half asleep, and everybody's running up to me and saying, you know, what do you think about, you know, energy policy? What do you think about, you know, the, all kinds of different political issues? They started asking me, and I'm half asleep, and I felt like I was in the airplane movie where the guy comes in the airplane movie, and all they started, you know, hitting the person because they're asking them all these questions all the time, you know, and that's the way I felt, you know. So the point is that as we're just traveling along, doing our own thing in life, we're walking along, and the counsel, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. See, we're just walking along, doing our own life, and the counsel of the ungodly is there barbaring us and coming in on us and speaking to us all the time, and we're just being confronted with all these different thoughts and considerations. You know, we can see it all the time in advertisements. You know, I know the one of the famous ones that I always rings around in my head, you deserve a break today. You know, get up and go away to McDonald's, right? And the, you know, the point is that the message that the world, the ungodly, is trying to tell you is that you deserve a break today. Well, why do I deserve a break today? And if I do, why do I need a McDonald's? I don't know. But the point is that, you know, it builds into, you know, all your feelings that, oh, I deserve something. You know, it's about me. You know, I did so much today. You know, you should take care of me in some way. You know, there's all these ungodly things that are constantly coming in on us and trying to get us to think differently than what God is about. I remember in movies, you can see it all the time, the themes of movies, especially with children's movies. It's all about, you know, just follow your heart. If you just follow your heart, then everything will work out okay. And that's the theme of many, many movies that you see out there. And the point is that the scripture tells us that our heart is deceitful. It's dark. And without the Lord, we're going to be led astray. You know, it says that we're like sheep that are all being led astray. And so what is this counsel from the ungodly that says, just follow your heart and do what you think is best because you're all good? And the scripture tells us there is no one good. When somebody asked Jesus about being good, Jesus said, well, who is good? And the answer was, well, Jesus. But I am, right? You know, he was speaking. But the point is that there is no one good. And this is how the counsel of the ungodly is all around us, telling us all kinds of things. And if we're not paying attention, then we start to hear those things and we start to believe those things in our heart. And the next thing you know, we find ourselves is standing in the path of sinners. You know, a path is a place that is regularly walked on, right? You know, if you walk on the ground long enough in a certain area, you will develop a path, right? And even in the woods where things want to grow up all around, if you develop a path there, the ground becomes hard and nothing will grow there. So, but it says now this is a place that now you're having a consistent sin in, and you're now walking along this path of consistent sin. Then the last step is it says that nor sit in the seat of a scoffer. You know, with these three words, you know, when I went into that airport, if I listened to them, I would have stopped and then began to embrace them and begin to talk with them about their political issue. And then if I really got into it, then the next thing I'm going to do is I might sit down and sign a petition or something. You see this is the process. You first are walking along, listening to the counsel, and then you get involved with them. You stop and you stand and you're involved with them in conversation and what's going on. And the last step, you're committed. You're signing your life away, so to speak, in the petition, whatever you're doing. But in this one, you could see that the final step is to sit in a seat of a scoffer. And a scoffer is one who is just throwing out accusations. You know, one who's, you know, maybe they used to be a believer, but now when they become a scoffer, that's who they're putting their venom against. Oh, those Christians. They're just all hypocrites. You know, I used to be there and they treated me this way. You know, and don't believe anything they're saying. See, that is a final step where now you're sitting with the sinners, and it's more than sin. It's the scoffing, it's not just your own focus and what you want in your life. Now you're criticizing and pouring out venom on everything else. But verse 2 is amazing. It says, but his delight. See, we don't do any of these things where we walk, stand, or sit. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You know, a delight is something that overtakes you. I've had quite a few different delights in the natural in my life. One of them early on was I wanted to make a cedar strip canoe. And when I decided that I wanted to do that, that's what I started to think about. I bought a book and I started to read on how to do it, how to get the materials and everything about it. And the next thing you know, every time when I woke up in the morning, I'm thinking about making this canoe. And when I was ready to go to bed at night, that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about, oh, what's the next step in making this canoe? And all my delight and my thoughts and everything was towards this delight that I had in my heart. And this is how the Lord says we need to look at his law. Well, I want to turn over to Psalm 19. Oop, I got the wrong marker here. And it helps us understand a little bit what God's law is like. Because at first glance, you know, you may think, oh, his law is just a bunch of rules, just a bunch of things. And we really don't understand it. But listen to what the psalmist said in verse 19. As soon as I could, I mean, chapter, Psalm 19. I finally got it. Starting at verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Wow. What an amazing thing that his law is perfect and it converts our soul. It's the part within us that needs help. And it says, the testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. Isn't that what we heard today? Some testimonies, and what it does is it helps us with our faith, and with that it takes our simple way of thinking of things and it makes us wise because we realize, oh, God is faithful to me too. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. See, there is a delight at rejoicing the heart. The statutes of the Lord, the commands of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. See, our eyes become clean, they become pure, we begin to see the way things really are, and that's because the commands of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is something that is beautiful. It's something that sets peace in our life. When we have the fear of the Lord, it becomes clean to us. It doesn't come with judgment because we're having a proper fear of the Lord and all that he says that is right. And it says the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Is that if we could have judgments that are pure and right and wonderful for everyone involved, that we would know what's right and what's wrong and we could walk in those ways? It's a beautiful thing, and it says it's to be more desired See, the law of the Lord is to be more desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And it's sweeter than the honey from the honey from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. See, the Lord tells us that if we're going to be moving towards him and seeking him, that our delight will be in his law, and on his law we will meditate day and night. A few years ago when I was driving Uber, I picked a young man up over at the train station, and I was taking him to a place where he was going to for a meditation weekend. And on the trip over, I knew the New Age type of place he was going to, the Omega Center across the river. And so I said to him, I said, oh, he told me what he was doing. I said, oh, you're going over for a meditation weekend. I said, that's interesting. You know, I've been thinking about that the other day, that I've noticed that maybe the meditation that you're going to do over there is the idea, and I explained to him the idea of his meditation is that you empty everything out of your mind and then try to be at peace with yourself. If you could get all those thoughts out of your head, all those negative thoughts and all those things, you know, then you can come at peace. And he was saying, yes, that's right. And I said, well, you know, I'm a Christian, and I said, you know, the biblical idea of meditation is different than that. I said, the idea with meditation from Scripture is that you don't empty your mind, but you make your mind active on the law of the Lord and on the good things about God, and you know maybe through a scripture that you read, and you begin to think about that and get your mind active to think about all the things that are good. And when you do that, it drives out all the other thoughts that are negative that are in your head. And I said, that's the difference between what you're going to do and what the Lord offers. And so the guy was very interested in all of this, and he was enjoyed the conversation and made quite a few different observations of his own. And he began to tell me a little bit of how he grew up as a Catholic and what he thought of his religion and that type of thing. And I got a chance then to share with him about Christ and how he died for him. But the point is that I have no idea if he went over there and if his meditation changed at all than what was he was going to be told over there. But the point is that is what our meditation is like, is that it's an active mind meditation and not an emptying, trying to empty yourself of thoughts. Because our mind is primarily a one-function processor, right? You know, if we put our mind on the good things of God, it drives out all the worry and all the things that are in our mind. And so that's why the Scripture tells us and to delight ourselves on the law of the Lord and on his law meditate day and night. So that's a beautiful thing. Now, verse 3 now changes, and now it begins to give us a word picture of ourselves. And in this, it's like a little parable that the next scripture gives us. It says, but he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaves also do not wither. See, the word picture or the parable that the Scripture has given us is that we are like a tree. And a tree is a beautiful creation of God. It's, you know, it's this structure that has roots down deep into the ground, and it has a strong wood structure that goes up, and then it has branches that are alive, and leaves grow out of the buds that are there, and the tree actually grows every year, and it produces fruit. And so this is what the scripture is telling us what our life should be like. And the first thing it says that the tree is planted by the rivers of water. See, the scriptures we've been just reading were all about the law of the Lord. And so what we see is that the river and the roots are what they're tied into is the law of the Lord, or the scriptures, or all the good things that God has told us about. And all the things that we should be meditating on. And our roots go down deep and are along this beautiful river. See, the river is a place where we receive the word of the Lord from. It's the place where we're all tied into, and it's can be even a picture of the church, the river, and it's a place of where we hear and understand the things of God. And so that river of water is the word of God. That needs to be in our life, and something that we need to be planted by, and our roots go down into deeply. But a tree doesn't just live on the water. It has something else all around the tree besides just the water that it's receiving up through the roots, and it comes up into the tree and gives lets the leaves not wither. See, the tree puts out beautiful leaves all around it, and it becomes green. And in the process, the sun comes down and beats upon it, and there's a process that happens in the leaves. Do you know what that is? Yeah. It's a process by which light comes into the leaf, into the green leaf, and it actually converts the water that comes up from the ground into the leaf, and it produces a process that it turns the water into a sugar. There's sugar that gets put into that, and we all enjoy that, especially this time of year when maple trees, we tap them and get the sap out of them, and we boil it down. And if you boil it down far enough, you get just a little sugar cube, right? And we call that maple candy, because that sugar is there for the life of the tree. And so what happens is that sugar water travels through the tree and feeds the tree, and it feeds the fruit that will grow. And the process of which the fruit grows, it says that it will bring forth its fruit in season. See, it's a natural process for fruit to grow. But it needs two things. It needs the water from the roots coming up from the being planted by the river, and then it also needs the sunlight. So in this picture, we see that the water is the Word of God, and the sunlight is the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about. And the two combine in our lives, and so revelation comes in our life, and it becomes real to us, what God has spoken to us, and it becomes in our heart, and it becomes something that is birthed. And it's birthed in the tree as the sugar water that then feeds the tree, and it just grows, and fruit is produced. I love in Galatians when it talks about the flesh, it talks about the works of the flesh. See, and then Paul explains to us all the works of the flesh, how the flesh works and all the problems and the sin that it creates and all of that. But then when he begins to talk about the Spirit, he changes it and he calls it the fruit of the Spirit. See, the reason is that it's something that we cannot in the flesh produce, but is something that naturally produces in the tree from the sunlight, from the Spirit coming down upon the Word of God and revealing it to us and bringing forth revelation in our life so that we can just enjoy everything that God has given to us as we meditate on His Word and all that He's done for us on His faithfulness. Everything that we talked about today, then fruit is just produced. And so you may say, oh, Lord, I want to see you more and more in my life. And I would say, well, give it time. You know, give the process of who we are as the tree. Give it time for that fruit to grow. And as we center in our lives in on everything that God has for us and center in on meditating on His Word and receiving the Holy Spirit into our life, then that fruit will grow. And in a year or a few months, you'll begin to see something happen in your life that you did not produce in the flesh, but the Spirit of God has produced in you. And that's a beautiful thing. And so it says that your leaves will not wither, and you will produce, you will bring forth fruit in its season. So I don't know about you, but this is a comforting scripture to me because it tells me it's something that I don't strive for, but I just seek the Lord and He produces it in me. And in that process, I do not have to worry. I do not have to fret. I do not have to strive after something that I'm trying to do to be more, quote, spiritual in my life. But I can just soak myself in the Word of God, soak myself in the Scriptures, soak myself in the worship of the Lord, and look to Him to speak to me. And He does. And so because of that, we have a morning like this morning where it's not one man standing up and giving a message, but it's us as a body through body ministry because the Lord and the Holy Spirit is working in all of us as a body that we can begin to understand and appreciate the volume by which God is moving in our midst. So I would say, take that all these beautiful trees and let them walk around in the grocery stores and at work and everywhere we go so that people can enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. See, we all have low-hanging fruit, right? If we're serving the Lord and everything I just described is true, we have all this low-hanging fruit so that the world can begin to pick it and eat from it. And when they do, they will see something different than what they're striving for. And in that process, we can begin to speak the Word of God into their life, and they will be there, ready to see it, taste and see that the Lord is good. And this is what we need to do for the world around us, is that let them taste it. Let them enjoy it. And in the process, God will draw them as we lift up the Lord. Jesus said, I will draw all men unto me. So all those that are hungry and thirsting after righteousness can come and pick from us all that we have to give. Because we have within us what was talked about today, the Holy Spirit within us. And he goes with us wherever we go. When we get up and go to work or we go to the grocery store, he doesn't stay home with the Alexa playing music or something. You know, he doesn't do that. He's with us. He's in us, and he travels with us. And so the power of the Lord is in our lives. If he gives you a word to speak on Sunday morning and you're faithful in doing that, then I know he's going to give you a word when you meet with your friend in the grocery store. He can give you a word there as well. And speak the word of God to our friends and family and our acquaintances that we have out there. And therefore, this tree will be recognized as a beautiful thing that's green and not withered, that's not unafraid. You know, the world tells us back to the counsel of the ungodly to be afraid and the wither back from being 6 foot away from your neighbor, right? And we need to honor them, but also show them that we're not afraid. Show them that there's more to life than being so-called healthy or being afraid of sickness. So, Lord Jesus, I just pray today, Lord, that our lives would be like this tree that's planted by the water, by your good word that's all through us and in us. And that your Holy Spirit, through the rays of your glorious sun, comes down upon us and works within us to give us revelation and understanding of everything that you're doing in our life and in your word, O God. I'm so glad that I can ask questions of you, God. What does this mean? What does this scripture mean? And you reveal yourself to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the loving God, the faithful God that you are. So, Lord, I just pray that in each of us this week, we would just feel the power of your Holy Spirit within us, that we could let the fruit be picked from our tree by all our friends and families and acquaintances all around us, Lord, that we would not be bashful, for indeed we would be like the Lion of Judah that would stand up and proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living and just allow your word to be penetrated all around us, O God. Lord, I pray that we would bring the counsel of the godly. Let the counsel of the godly be in our mouth. In Jesus' name, amen.